Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Good afternoon to you and to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It opens after morning mass around 9 o'clock and usually open until about 4:30. On Tuesdays, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour, begins at 3 o'clock and concludes with prayers beginning at 4 and benediction. On Thursdays, we have a rosary at 4 o'clock. A number of people come together and we pray the rosary. 4 o'clock on Thursdays, and the shrine closes shortly after, so around 4:30, 4:45 or so. If you're going to come down, be sure and get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website, and we'd be more than happy to come over and meet you there in the shrine. Also coming up, not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, is our monthly Matt Talbot Holy Hour and Mass. That'll be on Tuesday, November the 21st, 6 o'clock in St. Gabriel's Church. We begin with a Holy Hour, during which we have confessions that'll be heard, and conclude with Matt Talbot Novena prayers and benediction, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock. So, without any further... go ahead, Father.
Can I just mention two other announcements?
Oh, yeah.
Did you remember what they were? You can do it.
Yeah, well, I know one of them is the Militia Immaculata Village that meets out at Malvern on the second Thursday of the month. So that will be tomorrow night, November the 9th. It gets started at 7 o'clock with... a reading from Maximilian Kolbe's writings and a reflection, and then followed by a rosary, all during which we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, followed again by benediction, and then Mass gets started somewhere around 8 o'clock or so. It's a great evening. We've had anywhere from 20 to upwards of 35 people or so that have been showing up. All are more than welcome. The evening is held in the Carlo Acutis Center, formerly known as Lower McShane, at St. Joseph's in the Hills in Malvern. So come on out. If you don't have to be a Knight of the Immaculata or a member of the Militia Immaculata to come out, although you'll have an opportunity at the end of the evening, if you would like to consecrate yourself, to make that consecration. But there's no pressure placed on anybody to do so. Just come out and pray with us. And then on the first Friday of each month, out at Malvern, they had a big crowd that showed up this past Friday for Mass and breakfast that follows. There were some people, I think, Father, that were a little disappointed that they didn't have the gospel reflection or time to talk about or faith sharing. And, you know, you and I had talked, and I think others have come since to agree that with a crowd that size, you could have the faith sharing over breakfast. So Mass on that first Friday is 7:30?
Yes.
7:30? Yeah, 7:30 Mass, and then breakfast to follow.
So for a deacon that helps us.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though we didn't have the faith sharing, in a sense we did.
Right.
Because we had so many tables and everyone was talking about our Catholic faith.
Exactly.
So we kind of like really developing our first Friday. So what we thought we would do is have the Mass and then go to the dining room at the FLC, Family Life Center. And before the meal, we would pray and do the gospel, gospel of the Sunday before. And then they break up into groups as we eat. We, you know, they have a leader and share the faith, and then each member of that table would come up and give a summary, and then we would close it with a prayer. But it's really beautiful, you know. And even now, you know, people come, they can stay a little longer after everything's over and walk the grounds. Right now, it is so beautiful, Mount Vernon, with the different colors and the foliage. And I said this last night with the teacher walking in the forest with the little girl in autumn, and the teacher said to the little girl, her student said, "Look how beautiful God colors." And the little girl said, "Yeah, and he stays between the lines. And you see all the wonderful animals, the deer, the gophers, the chipmunks. You know, if you're in the inner city, you really get to that out-of-the-way place. It's like a new paradise, and the Lord will touch you real good. Flame all of our hearts with the intimacy of his divine presence there. And then we'll go back into the world and bring that presence, be more mindful of that presence wherever we go. Bring that light of Christ into this dark world of ours, Ken." But yeah, come on, come all. First Friday, 7:30, Mount Vernon, St. Joseph in the Hills, the glorious hills.
So, for December, that'll actually fall on December the 1st. So that'll be the next first Friday.
Yeah,
at Mount Vernon. Yep. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. If you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the bottom, go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, and we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, where we'd ask you to witness to our listeners if God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks. And we always know that it's God, that it's never odd. We are currently in the 31st week in Ordinary Time, and really no saints between the beginning of the week. We did have a couple the end of last week. On Thursday the 9th, we have the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. On Friday the 10th, St. Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor. And on Friday the 10th, St. Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor. Saturday the 11th, St. Martin of Tours, Bishop. Last week's show, we spent the whole hour on talking about All Saints Day and saints in general. And really didn't leave any time for All Souls Day. We kind of ran out at the end of the show. So we thought today that we would talk about All Souls, especially since the month of November is dedicated to All Souls. So we thought we would start with the reading. You often hear at funerals, and is also one of the optional readings for All Souls Day. And it's taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet it is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. The word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. So, thoughts, Father?
Yeah, you know, just such a beautiful wisdom, you know. I mean, the words there really speaks about purgatory, you know. And just say, like, they seem, in the view of the foolish, to be dead. You know, it seemed like an affliction, like some kind of punishment. And then going forth us are in utter destruction. But they are in peace. I love this, Ken. Chastise a little, they shall be greatly blessed. God tried them, found them worthy of himself. It's like gold in the furnace, right? He proved them. You know, it made me think about that story with the silversmith. And the silversmith has his big spoon of silver over a flame underneath it. And he's burning out all the, impurities. And a passerby comes by and says, what are you doing there? And he says, well, I'm burning out all these, all the soot and all the impurities of the silver. And the passerby said, well, how do you know when it's done and that you're not going to burn the silver? He said, I'll know when it's done, because I'll see my image in it. There you go. You know, we hear about this fire all the time. And certainly, traditionally, the people of the church believed in that kind of physical fire. But, you know, we're dead. You know, the body's gone. You know, it's separated. There's no pain and there's no time either. So I really believe this all happens so quickly. But it's not a punishment. It's a step up from this world. It's really a gift. And I always think, in purgatory, what our Lord said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what makes us think that I have to purify myself in purgatory? He's going to be right there with me. And that fire that's spoken about, that's the fire that comes out of his sacred heart. That's the fire of the burning bush. It's the fire of the fiery tongues, you know. It's a chastening. It chases us. It washes us clean. It's like the precious blood comes down upon us. It's a fire of divine love. As our Lord said, I come to start a fire, and I wish it were blazing, but it's that fire. But, we get caught up with this fire and, how the church thought years back, about purgatory, and even mystics would see, purgatory as souls in some kind of fire. But I, for one, don't want to see my family members popping around some kind of frying pan like jumping Mexican beans. You know, God loves us, he's caring for us. He got to get all the stuff out of us, and he's always at work to do that. But there was a word called Sitzenleben, which is German, and it means the situation in life. So when you look at the Old Testament, you see this God of wrath and all. The situation of life is how the people believed at that time. Like the Jewish people, they started to use their reason, said when they were good, God blessed them, and when they were bad, God punished them. So from this Sitzenleben, you believe, God will punish me when I'm bad, and he rewards me when I'm good. But God is totally, completely loving me all the time. So, like the prophets and all, God never assaults that. But there's a deeper message under all these stories of the gospel, where God is speaking, and that word is inevitable. It's really, it's infallible. It's the word of God, and that's what he's speaking. But yes, we have needs in us that have to come out. There's foreign stuff in us. I always think about Chuck calls the Pagels, it's a great way to remember the capital sins. Pagels, pride, anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, and sloth. And they got to come out of us. And I was thinking one time, Ken, when, you know, you've heard this story, I'm sure, like most of my stories. But when I would get splinters as a kid, and they would go pretty deep, like under the fingernail, playing in empty houses and all, I would have to come home, and the splinters had to come out. And I always remember my father sitting me down at the kitchen table, turning on the gas range, taking a long sewing needle, and putting it over the flame, and you know, to make the needle, you know, to purify the needle. He would give me a towel to bite on, and he would have the tweezers there. And then he would start digging and digging. I could see it was hurting my father more than it was hurting him, but that splinter had to come out. And when he saw me crunching, he said, bite the towel, take a break. He says, when this is over, you're going to get ice cream. And then he would get that splinter out, and then I would get my ice cream. And I see that the way with our Lord, you know, these splinters, these seven deep splinters in us, they got to come out. You know, they're supposed to be there. And they come out, and that's the whole concept of purgatory, you know. We're always free to speculate what purgatory will be like, you know, just like heaven. Nobody really knows what heaven is going to be like. We, you know, it's going to be great and wonderful and beautiful and all those other abstractions. But the eye hasn't seen nor has the ear heard. So, you know, we think the best, and I think the best for purgatory. And like John Vianney said, that it's better to pray for the living than for the faithful departed, because the faithful departed are guaranteed heaven. They know it. They know where they're going. It's almost like college, you know. You took all your courses and you passed everything, but you haven't graduated yet. You're waiting for that diploma. Or I see purgatory, Ken, pretty much like something more like intensity rather than duration. When one of the Monsignor Carbine gave a nice explanation in theology class, he said, if you're in like a Sunday and you're going to a matinee movie and it's really sunny out and you go into the movie in the darkness and then you remember your wallet or your pocketbook was left in the car, so you go right out to get your wallet and pocketbook. But when you go out into the sunlight, there's a very slight adjustment to your eyes. You hardly even notice the brightness of the sun. But here, you know, if you stay in that movie for the duration of the movie, an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then you come out into the sunlight, there's an intensity, you know, of your eyes in the light, a big adjustment. And to me, like God's light, and the longer we live in sin and darkness and we come before light, his light, there's an intensity, a purification. He's taking it out of us. He's purifying us. He's making us ready to see God, to see the beatific vision. How wonderful is that? And it's like God does. It's a gift. Purgatory is a gift to all of us. And I just, I'm not afraid of purgatory. You know, it's something I hope I don't have to go through. I wish, you know, my prayer is that we become saints in this life. It's the prayer of Jesus, be holy and perfect as your Heavenly Father is holy and perfect. But have no fear of purgatory. My fear is here, you know, that I stay close to God. The fear of the Lord, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to offend him. But no fear of purgatory, because it's a real blessing, a chastisement. You know, chastise a little will be greatly blessed, because God found us worthy of himself. Just like gold in the furnace, he just purifies us more and more. And there it is, Ken. You know, it's like, there's the act of purification that I'm called to do, you know, to do penance, to fast, to pray, to give alms. It's an act of purification. It's called asceticism. And when I'm doing all that, God comes and reveals himself, and the saints become mystics, and they're so aware of God. Now, the saints get it done, and if there's any purgatory, it's very real quick, you know. But I just think that there's no purgatory at all for saints. Like the little flower would say, you know, she wouldn't die from tuberculosis. She would die out of love. It was one more veil to be torn. She went through the Paschal mystery with Jesus. She suffered with him and did some, not only for her own purification, but also for others. She was a victim soul. And it's like that, that it's meant to be done now in this world. And if we don't, God loves us so much, he'll do it. in purgatory. And I see purgatory as a form of contemplation. We're on the receiving end. I know there's two schools. One say that the souls in purgatory can be praying for us. And I was always taught they can't pray for us when they're in purgatory. It's when they get to heaven that they can pray for us. So I really think, see, it's like a contemplation where they're receiving now. It's a one-on-one with God. He's purified them, cleansing them, preparing them to go home. You know, really, if I'm going to a wedding and I'm a plumber or digging ditches, I want to go home and take a bath and get showered and comb my hair to go into that wedding because I'm not going to feel comfortable. They wouldn't even let me in anyway. But, you know, purgatory is where I get cleansed and washed up, clean, now I'm ready. Sit down at that banquet table and see all my loved ones around me and see God face to face, Ken. But purgatory, what a wonderful gift.
Amen. And, you know, I've mentioned it over the years, I think, when we talk about all souls and purgatory, about, you know, our own family, where whenever we would have a wedding, it would kind of be like a joke where you put they're not so nice people, you put them all at the same table so that they wouldn't ruin the wedding for everybody else. And when people ask me about purgatory, I tell them that, you know, that table doesn't exist in the wedding feast in heaven, that you gotta get it all worked out before you get there, because you're not going to be able to get in and ruin it for anybody. And it just makes perfect sense that in all God's mercy that he would provide that layover, if you will, for, you know, if we haven't been able to work out our salvation completely and work out every prejudice and sinful way that we've had within us, that we have that opportunity to do so in purgatory. And, you know, those that were with us last week in the 5 o'clock hour, you know, I had the purgatory lady on for half an hour in Susan Tassone. And she wrote a great book for kids, and New Friends Now and Forever is what it's called, available at EWTN and Amazon and other places, but order it from EWTN, give them the money. But this new Friends Now and Forever, you know, it's a couple of kids that learn about purgatory from an older fellow in church and the priest at Mass, and this idea of, you know, praying for other people. And Susan Tassone talks about it all the time. You know, if we're the one that's responsible, either totally or even partially responsible for helping a soul make their way from purgatory to heaven, that we have a friend for all of eternity. And that even if, you know, we're praying for souls that have already gone from purgatory to heaven, that we can help them in heaven. You know, there's different levels, and through additional prayers, we can, you know, help them to get even closer and closer to God, and then intervene on our behalf back here on earth. So if we help those souls, I can only imagine how grateful they are because of the help that we've provided. And, you know, we talk about, whenever we talk about a fire, you mentioned that, you know, we don't want to think about our relatives, you know, frying in a frying pan. Then, you know, I think, you know, in what I've read, heard others talk about too, is that, you know, when you experience God, when you experience Jesus at death and realize that you're going to have to spend time away from him for a while, just haven't had that glimpse, you know, that it's that burning desire within us to be back with him that's going to burn everything out, not that flame, as you mentioned, putting us on a charcoal fire or in a frying pan. And it's just, you know, how it is when, you know, if we have loved ones or we're close friends that we've been separated from, and that, you know, the longer we're separated, the more our heart aches, you know, to be with them again. And so I think, you know, purgatory is along those same lines. And so, you know, the other thing was, I just heard in a podcast the other night with Father Heilman and Doug Barry and I think it was Daniel O'Connor, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about purgatory. And, you know, again, what a mercy it is that God's provided for us to get there. And I, they had said something, and now I lost my train of thought, Father, on where they, must not have been meant to be said. Here one second, go on the next.
You know, Ken, you just made me think about when I was in Holy Family Home with the little sisters in the residence. I used to say to the residents, because they would die at the table, and, you know, and all of a sudden they're gone from you. And I would say to one resident, going here today, going tomorrow. And the resident said, huh, here today, going today. You know? But it's so true. We don't know that day or hour. And I like your concept of the wedding feast, that we're not going to be enemies there. You know, we're going to be loving one another totally and completely, because we get hung up on our idiosyncrasies, our shortcomings and character defects, our sins, our false self, you know, and that's what antagonizes us. But if we can look more deeply beyond that, the way Jesus and God sees us, sees that soul in the image and likeness of God, we'll love one another the way he loves us. It's the way Jesus loved the very ones that was killing him from the cross. He was forgiving them and loving them and asking the Father to forgive them. He wasn't forgiving sin. Sinners he was forgiven. Wasn't forgiven bad behavior, but them. And, you know, when you were sharing that story that it won't make any difference when we're in heaven, you know, our different idiosyncrasies here, I was thinking of that story that Dottie shared at Calix last night, Ken, where she was working and she had to tell somebody not to use the file cabinet because she was the supervisor, and he got angry and slammed the door in her face. And that hurt that Dottie carried for some time. It was terrible. We all know when somebody hurts us how terrible that is. And then she meets him in hospice, and she's holding his hand, you know, as he's dying. That she no longer, all that hurt went away. You know, all that innocence. She saw her brother there, and her brother saw his sister, and they loved one another. And that's how it's going to be in heaven. I remember it was years ago, my first assignment, Father Doyle. He was a pastor emeritus, Ken. He was a holy terror. You know, he was difficult to live with. And I just remember one day, I looked out the window, and he had this big Dalmatian dog, and he's walking next to the dog up the little pathway, and he's praying his rosary. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm going to see him in heaven someday. And all this consternation between us, it's not going to matter then. And I'm not going to let it matter now. And we became friends after that, because I saw him differently. I saw my brother. I saw the image and likeness of Jesus in him. I no longer saw that firmness, that sternness, that control of the pastor. I saw my brother. And that's how it's going to be in heaven. We're going to see one another and truly love one another. And if we don't do it here, purgatory will help us to do it in heaven. But we'll all be in love with one another and with God, totally complete happiness and peace and glory, one family at that wedding feast in that table of God's children, that banquet, that eternal banquet. So, hey, it won't matter in heaven, and we shouldn't let it matter here. Let all the division cease and love one another as the way the Lord loves us, you know. And how does he love us? This much. He spread out his arms, and he died for us.
Amen.
Love one another.
All right, we're almost at the bottom of the hour, and the thought came back to me, and that was, you know, that we need to shoot for heaven. You know, we've been talking about it, you know, how we you know, if we're not quite ready to enter heaven upon our death, that we, you know, we have the God's mercy to experience in purgatory. And I remember, you know, a while back, and we joke about it now. You know, my buddy Paul would always say, yeah, I'm aiming for purgatory. And I was like, well, you aim for purgatory and you miss. You're in a world of hurt. I say, we got to aim for heaven. And it, and if we don't quite make it, then, you know, we've got a plan B with purgatory. If you aim for purgatory and don't make it there, there is no plan B. So we need to aim for heaven. So we're going to take a break in a second here. I want to give out the phone numbers. They are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. We want your calls. for Otter God. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Otter God segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and your prayerful support. It's kept us on the air for over 40 years now, and we cannot do it without you, so thank you again. Before we go to Otter God, and we haven't gotten any phone calls yet, Father, so again, the number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Quick update on the Calix Society, great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father and I and a gang get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, where we begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and then our Calix meeting. The third Tuesday of the month, as mentioned earlier, we are over in St. Gabriel Church this month. That'll be the week of Thanksgiving, Tuesday, November the 21st, 6 o'clock, Matt Talbot Holy Hour with confessions, Matt Talbot Novena prayers and benediction, followed by Mass. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be next Thursday, November the 16th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass with a Calix meeting after. They'll get together this coming Saturday, November the 11th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calix meeting. We'll get together on Saturday, November the 18th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, they get together on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calix meeting, and they'll meet on Saturday, November the 25th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calix unit that meets every Wednesday at St. Matthew's Church, 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calix meeting. My guest in the 5 o'clock hour today is going to be Teresa Moll, and she's written an interesting book. It's called Woke Proof Your Life, and we're going to talk about everything woke in the 5 o'clock hour as long as Teresa gets in touch with us. All right, we're going to go to the phones, and we've got Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, brother.
Be careful what you ask for. You ask for callers, so here I am.
I could think of worse, Frank. How's things?
Not good. But I forgot it was a Wednesday again. I want to thank Captain Lou for giving me a call, reminding me these were on the air. I always forget it's a Wednesday. And the reason I said not good, it's been a bad week. Nothing different happened. It's just a reminder of all my situations, all my problems. It just got me bummed out. I was going to the podiatrist this afternoon, and my driver, the great lady, gave me a ride. I saw my Glenn Campbell, Rhinestone Cowboy. I haven't heard that song in years. Just kind of said about walking down these streets, hearing the same old songs. That's me, the same old stuff every day. I'm just getting worse and worse and worse, and I'm fed up.
Well, we got to do something to break the rut.
I know, I've been trying, but yeah. When you're stuck in the house, you can't go places. It stinks.
Yeah.
Frank, you know, I was thinking, even around here, you know, I just, you know, I'm inside and you know, I have a chapel and I go and pray and, you know, I touch God, he touches me, and inwardly it's all glory. It really is. But outwardly, that's another story. And our brothers and sisters are caught in darkness, and like yourself, you're down and out, you know. But I just want to say to you that there's something beautiful in you. And we really need, you know, the longest journey is from the head to the heart, where God's dwelling place is. And once I get there, this whole world melts away. All my problems and difficulties, my heartaches, my sorrows, they go away because Jesus just burns them up in the fire of his divine love. And I know about your eyesight and all, and your physical ailments, Frank, and somehow the Lord, he permits that for you to draw you closer inwardly, closer to him. And to let you be partners with him on that cross of his, to share in his paschal mystery and his suffering, even more like to be a victim soul with him. But I just, you know, the story that just came to mind, Frank, I was thinking about St. Bridget. And St. Bridget's in Ireland, and she was looking at the beautiful scenery of Ireland. It was like waterfalls and puffy white clouds and blue skies. And there was a blind person next to her. And she asked the Lord if he would give the sight back to her friend, that she could see all this beauty. And the Lord said, okay, I'll let her see it. And she gets her eyesight back, and she sees all the beauty, the waterfalls, and she sees the birds and the clouds and all God, the glory outwardly. And she says, that's beautiful. But would you ask God to give me my blindness back? Because I was looking at something more beautiful. I said, wow, you know. There's something more beautiful in our hearts. I know sometimes people don't get it, they don't see it, but yet sometimes you get to a point where I've had enough, I'm fed up, I give up, and all of a sudden that door from inside opens up, and there's the glory of God shining through us, like he shines through his saints. So,
I heard that story before. It's a great story. Yeah. Now, I went to great school, St. Tim's, Father Judge. I heard it before. Heard
and you want to see
Sergeant Lou, Lieutenant Lou, Captain Lou. He told me similar stories, and that was great. But at this point, it doesn't butter the bread no more. I'm just fed up and tired.
I know.
Those things don't help me no more. I'm just, I don't want to tell the time. I just call because I call all the time. I'm just, yeah. I go through these periods every so often, just up till down and out. Because not just the eyes, it's the whole body, the legs, all the muscles in my body are tight, stiff, heavy, weak, and numb. I just can't do much except talk. I haven't lost that yet, but
I know, Frank. You know.
That's all I want to say. It's always great hearing both of you. It's always, you know, I always miss you when you're going, Father Doug. You're doing the main different things all the time. You're like Captain Lou.
I was an extra priest, you know, because
anyway,
I was really struggling, having a hard time, and they put me in visitation in Kensington, you know, just as an extra priest to get some kind of respite. And Frank, I couldn't lift up my head with my allergies and all. And for 17 hours a day, I was in bed. I couldn't move. And I got up, I had my mask. I went to the hospital and went back to bed, in bed, out of bed. But as I look back at that, it was like the Lord slowed me down, and he pulled me inwardly out of the chaotic, crazy, selfish world, out of my ego, out of my pride, you know, the self-centeredness of me. I heard an acronym for pride, P-R-I-D-E, primary reason I die early. But he's at work, and if something happens to me, and he's permitting it, he has his reasons. He's going to do something beautiful with it, and it's going to be a greater grace. I just need to trust him with all my heart and lean not on my understanding. But I know these are words for you, Frank, and we all suffer. We all go through it, and now it seems like you're dipping down again.
Just so you know, all the great things about
in the midst of all your trials and tribulations, he's holding you close to his heart, Frank. And just hold on, hold tight. It's going to get better. God's blessings are coming your way, and you're going to experience a deeper faith than ever before.
Well,
so
I want them now. I'd rather be in heaven now than linger down here. I'm not living. I'm just lingering. I'd rather be in heaven now. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Have a good one. Thank you, all.
All right, Frank.
Good
to hear
from
you, pal.
Thanks.
Yeah. Other guy?
I got one.
I got two. I actually got two. You know, one was this morning, Ken, when I actually pulled the paper out of my pocket to read that little poem, that it's going to cost you something, but there's so much more to gain, you know, that inner life and all. And remember when I heard the thing plop out of my pocket and everybody thought it was a dime, and I said, no, it's a penny. You got to have faith.
Yep.
Well, after the mass, Patrick came up and said, it was a dime, too. He picked up the dime. So it was a dime, too. So there was a dime. And the Lord was saying at that particular time when we were talking about, you know, you've got to count the cost to follow him. It's going to, you know, there's followers of him and there's disciples. Disciples deny themselves, pick up their cross, and they follow Jesus. And we were talking all about that. You know, I mean, you can have followers, but are they really disciples? You know, you follow Jesus for, I want something from him. You know, I want pleasures. I want gifts, you know, or you can follow him. He's saying, if you want to follow me, count the cost, because it's going to cost you something. You know, you're going to imitate me. You're following me. You're going to suffer. Pick up the cross. Deny yourself. You know, but there's so much more that you're going to get. And then all of a sudden, I leaned over, and here goes the plop. And I said, you know, is that a dime? Oh, it was a penny. And then Pat gives me the dime. And then I added it up. The dime and the penny is 11. 11 for heaven. So that was an honor, God. And the other one was at halftime, Ken, we were listening to, Dennis Nolan when he was talking about the fire. He said he talked about the fire of God's love in the world. The fire of God's love in the world. And he talked about hearts burning in us. Hearts burning in us. And it was everything that we were talking about. That the fire is God's love in purgatory. And it's our hearts burning because we're not satisfied. Because the real suffering of the souls is because I want to see God. And I can't wait. I can't wait. And it's coming, you know. And so it's going through that. But it's that fire of divine love. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, until we see you. But blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God, and only they. But that was two outer gods for me.
Amen. I had one yesterday driving to work. Oil sticker up on my windshield, the reminder to get my oil changed. And I don't think I've ever caught it on the exact mile. It was 41. I remember it. I don't know why. 41,016. I happen to look at the sticker at the exact same time that the odometer read 41,016. So I need to get an oil change.
Me too. Spiritual oil change.
Yeah, there you
Spiritual
go. Spiritual tune-up. There you go. You know, and the other one, Father, was really on Saturday out at Malvern. I was blessed to be asked to come out and, you know, give the guest speaker talk on Saturday afternoon, and then ended up given the conference on Saturday night as well, but I had no idea that a bunch of people that I knew were actually going to be on that weekend. And you know, one of the people was actually in the talk that I gave, and so interesting. You know, we walk into situations and we never know, do we? You know, who's going to be there, what's going to be there, and how things are going to shake out. And, you know, really turned out to be a great afternoon. We had, one guy, Dennis, if you're he was going to listen today. Dennis, if you're listening, thanks for coming to Calix last night. Like Father said, every weekend there's a bunch of people that said, oh, I'll be at Calix. You know, I want to come down. And then we never hear from him again. And Dennis said it, and he lived up to it and showed up last night. It was great to see him again. But just a great day we had out there on Saturday.
Yeah. As I was saying to Dennis, I said probably 30 people told me, hey, I'll be down there. And Dennis was not one of the 30, and he showed up.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then the other thing was, I guess Saturday, I forget if it was Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. Before or after dinner, I was down walking around the Carlos Acutis Center, and I meant to mention it on Saturday night because the talk I gave on Saturday afternoon was on the precious blood of Jesus Christ and Barnabas Noye and the prayers that he offers and or was given by Our Lady and Jesus. And then it was after that talk I went down to the Carlo Acutis Center, and I meant to mention on Saturday night for the guys that had been there for the precious blood talk, you know, you get down to that to the Carlo Acutis Center and you look at all those Eucharistic miracles and so many of them that involve the precious blood. And, you know, it was like an honor God. And I meant to mention it in order to get those guys to stop down and visit and actually take a look and forgot. So if any of them are listening, the next time you're back at Malvern, if you haven't been down there yet, you know, go and check out that Carlo Acutis. And it really reinforces the whole idea of the precious blood. And with that, we got another caller on the line. Father, we're going to go to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good, thanks. I heard you mention my name, and I did tune in today. It's a great show so far.
Very good. Appreciate you listening and calling in. Look at that, Father. 2 for 2.
Hey, yeah.
I think this is an all-time first.
Hey. Yeah, hey, Dennis, you got to wait there.
Hold on, Dennis, hold on for a sec.
My father bought me a holy water font that I keep at my front door, and it's been there for, I guess, going on 3 years now. And I found a prayer that I taped to the wall right next to it, and it says, by this holy water and your most precious blood, please forgive all my sins and relieve the holy souls in purgatory. And I say it at least once a day, sometimes several times a day. I have my wife and children saying it as well. And I guess just for some context or perspective, how many holy souls are we relieving by saying that prayer? Like, I don't know you can put a number on it, but.
Yeah, well, if you use the St. Gertrude prayer, supposedly Jesus told her, you know, 10,000. And 1,000 or 10,000? I think it's 10,000. Or no, 1,000. But the point being that I don't think there's actually a number on it. We actually prayed it Monday morning at a mass I went to, and it was 13 of us there and 13 people prayed it. And I'm thinking, you know, 13,000, but it's just a big number. And, you know, you think if you're doing it every day in your family, maybe purgatory is cleared out by now, you know, but, all the friends that we're making and, you know, we'll have an opportunity to meet them when we get there ourselves.
Yeah, that's good. That's good perspective. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem, Dennis. Good to hear your voice again, pal.
Thanks. Yep. Have a good evening.
You too.
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah.
You're the one that said you would. You was here last night, right?
Yep.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, Dan, I just wanted to say I was looking for you afterwards, and you got away. But I wanted to thank you for being there. And anyway, thanks for coming in. Thank you, Dennis, for calling in. God bless you. Real good.
Thanks, Father. We'll talk again.
Okay.
All right.
Ken, before we start running out of time, because a lot of times we get to the end and it's like you got 30 seconds, Father, you know?
Yep.
And I was just thinking about the people, you know, that really need prayers. And you came to mind. Remember when you started out, it was really like on a Friday and people would call in for prayers and you would pray with them. That's how you started out. And I just wanted to, you know, so many people that were asking for prayers, my candle rack is lit up. And I just wanted to mention a couple of them, you know, like Anne McClone. No, I visited her in the hospital, brought her communion, not the I guess a rehab hospital. But she lit up, you know. She lit up when she saw the priest. Not so much me, but the Eucharist, to have the anointing. I mean, she just, like, lit up, you know, radiated. But, like, to pray for her. And Paul, your brother-in-law, Jimmy Murray, you know, who's coming close to his time of seeing God. Billy Curran, our friend. And also for Sean Mooney's friend, Ronnie Mons, you know, to pray for him. I'm going to eventually see him and bring him the sacraments, and but all of them. And also, I just want to mention, too, that Ann McClone, you mentioned to me, on Monday, that Father Steve McHenry was taking Ann McClone's place on the radio. So I said, yeah, this is debut. I think I'll tune in. I'll tell you, Ken, I listened to that radio program, and Inner Sign is really going to be blessed with him, Monsignor McHenry. And he said so many things that really touched my heart as a priest. And I just want to say that he's a priest after my own heart, like Jesus. So really welcome Father Monsignor McHenry to Inner Sign Network. So I think I'll be listening on Mondays, Ken.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just want to pray that golden Hail Mary at this time so that I wouldn't be rushed at the end, and then give a blessing at the end, okay?
Yep.
All right. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, for all the sick and suffering, just the blessings through the Immaculata's Heart, St. Joseph's Chaste Heart, all the angels and saints, as we pray that golden Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Mother of all, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Okay, and we'll give the blessing at the end, but we can continue, Ken.
All right.
You always felt, shortchanged at the end.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just wanted to get that in.
Yeah, no, and I tuned in on Monday as well on my way home, and Monsignor McHenry was spot on, and even our friends Joe Trainer, who I've gotten to know over the years, and one of his regular guests, Mike Manning, who's actually part of a text group where a bunch of us they always talk about these guys that are strong in their faith. These they call them pipe swingers, and I'm blessed to be a part of a group with them. And so, we're here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. You got Kathleen on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and an opportunity each day to tune in, whether you're in the car or going about your business at home. Even if you just have it on in the background, maybe you hear something that you need to hear and perk things up. And, just blessed to be able to have done this show with you, Father, for over 7 years now. It's hard to believe.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for helping me out and coming out and going, taking that extra mile and sharing your faith with so many, and so many comments, that would come back, about you. And also Father Shea, I don't know. I didn't have to do it all. I would burn out. And there were so many. That was a packed weekend. And to have people come and help out. And it's amazing that, like when you say something, you're up there and you're giving your talk, and hearts are touched, because it's Jesus touching the hearts, the Holy Spirit touching the hearts through your faith, through your sharing, your words, but it's the Lord himself. And there was something that Monsignor McHenry said that really, really helped me. I didn't realize that he taught homiletics in the seminary for a while. But he was quoting, if I remember this well, Saint Augustine,
right.
And he said that the master is in the hearer of the preaching. So Jesus is in the preaching, and he's quoting Augustine by saying that. And he says the preacher prepares the table for the master's food. So when the preacher's up there. And anyone who has the, like down at the cross, I keep thinking of those two lights, the prophetic light and the sanctification. Prophetic light is the teacher, is the preacher. So, you know, when you were giving your talk, you had the prophetic light and we had the sanctification light to receive the wisdom. Now, Augustine is saying that the preacher prepares the table for the master's food. So then you hear something, and all of a sudden it's like the master, Jesus, is feeding you words of wisdom, touching your heart with assurances, with peace, with joy, and with love. And I remember Monsignor McHenry was saying somebody inevitably after Mass would come up, "That was a great homily, Father. Thank you." And Monsignor would say, "Well, what was it that touched you? What was it that touched you?" And he would tell them. And he said, "I never said that." You see, Ken?
Yep.
He never said that. Jesus said it in their hearts, that they were fed from the master's table, from Jesus. I thought that was such a great insight, you know. And I think of that, you know, even today when I was preaching, you know, I'm preparing the master's table for the master's food. But it's not us that touch hearts. It's the Spirit of Christ Jesus in our hearts. Amen to that.
Amen is right. And it's interesting because I too heard him say that on Monday, and I thought about, you know, even times where we've shared with other people, whether it's in a 12-step meeting or in a conversation, and, you know, they say something down the road that, you know, remember when you said, or you said, and it's like, I don't ever remember saying it. And after I heard Monsignor McHenry on Monday, it's like, I wonder if I actually said it, or, you know, that the conversation and kind of what I talked about on Saturday night with these Holy Communions, it doesn't have to be just a homily. It's any time we're with other people, and if God's a part of that, that there's he influences that interaction. And, you know, maybe people do, you know, we say one thing and people hear something different. And I know that goes on sometimes just as part of communication when we don't articulate or say exactly what we mean. And we'll say, you know, "Well, I told you." And they're like, "You never said that." And you know, we assumed that they understood what we were saying. But this is the opposite of that, where, you know, we may have said something that triggered our Lord to say something to them. And so they actually hear him instead of us, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. There was one last thing that I know, I was driving this morning somewhere, and the traffic, you know, your iris goes up there. And my senior said something, when it would get like that, he would just take a moment, like push a pause button, calm down, and then respond, you know. And what great wisdom that is, you know, because we're so quick to react. And we don't have to react. We can respond with grace and peace and joy, respond with the presence of God, bear wrongs patiently, you know, and I can bring peace to others instead of adding hardships and violence and, you know, all this junk in us that disturbs our peace. But, yeah, we have a pause button. Pause the world and enter the kingdom just for a moment. Receive the grace and bring it back into the world. Anyway, a lot of wisdom, Ken.
Amen. Amen. I got just about a minute and a half, Father, if we get your blessing.
Yeah. In his presence here, Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you for the gift of life and for being with us and just for touching our hearts day in and day out. Help us to be aware that it is you, anything good. And I just ask that all the listeners out there, especially those who are really struggling, hurting the most, just to touch them inwardly and let those pious thoughts rise up, peace in their hearts and joy that the world can't give them or take away. And ask a special blessing upon the world for peace, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Ukraine, in our streets, in our families, in our own hearts. Let that peace reign, Lord. Help us with that grace to love one another as you love us, and bless us real good. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Father, for our listeners. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.